Open up your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. Yeah, so this was yesterday. I got the message. He's like, "Hey, bro, you want to fill in preaching for me?" And I was like, "Absolutely, absolutely." You know, been pretty busy. I know they've been doing a lot of hard work over there trying to get those John and Romans going, and a lot on his mind, a lot of things going on. So if I can be a blessing and help out and relieve some of that burden, absolutely I will. But I count it a blessing every time I get to stand here and preach to you guys, and I don't take it lightly. So I've been praying about what the Lord would have me to preach for you today, and the Lord has kind of directed me in this way. I mean, I didn't know I was preaching tonight, but based on I just preached a couple weeks ago at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and the Lord just guided and directed me to preach on the mind and, you know, the different warfare that goes on in your mind. You're in a Christian warfare, and we tend to forget that. Man, the devil really wants to get a hold of your mind because he can't have your soul, so he wants to do everything he can to mess you up. And the Lord's kind of been guiding and directing me in this area. I want to preach tonight on a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because I feel like Christians, especially now, we're in this Laodicean age, there's a lot of apathetic Christianity going on. And they have no concern for lost souls. They don't have concern for the ministry of the church. They don't have concern for what's going on and what we're supposed to be doing. They've gotten very busy with their lives, and they just put the ministry of Christ kind of on the back burner. Yes, you come to church, and yes, we do a lot of things, but we need to have more of a concern for what's going on, and we're in a spiritual warfare. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verses 3 and 4. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." We are soldiers in the Lord's army. If you're saved here tonight, you're a soldier. And the Bible specifically tells us here in verse number 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." And the reason why we have a lot of apathetic Christianity is because you've been entangled with the affairs of this life. When you get yourself entangled and wrapped up in so many things that you have going on, that you're more concerned with what you have going on in your busyness and your own entertainment and whatever plans you have for yourself, that everything else goes to the wayside. So I just want to preach real quick, if possible, on a good soldier. What makes a good soldier for Christ? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I pray that you guide my thoughts. Lord, help me to preach efficiently, Lord, quickly but efficiently. Lord, I don't want to gloss over anything or skip anything, but Lord, I also want to observe and realize, Lord, the time that I have allotted to me. And Lord, I just thank you so much for sending your son to die on the cross for my sins. And Lord, I count it a privilege to be a soldier for Jesus Christ, and I pray that you'd help me to be able to convey and to preach, Lord, here tonight to your people to help them to be better soldiers for you as well. Lord, I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, the very first thing, if you're not saved, you're not in the Lord's army. So the very first thing, what makes a good soldier for Christ is, well, number one, you have to be his follower. You have to be a follower. If you're not saved, if you haven't joined the army, you need to join the army. The Bible says that you must be born again. All right, so you can't be a soldier in the Lord's army if you're not saved, if you're not born again. The Bible clearly states in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." All right, so if you're not saved, then you're not a follower of him, and you're not in the army. But I think that based on who's here tonight on a Wednesday night, I believe most of you are saved. Maybe there's some young ones here that aren't saved yet. And if you aren't saved, you need to get saved. But if you are, then you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You claim to be, you're here on a Wednesday night. You're here to hear the Word of God preached. You want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, you have your marching orders. If you're saved here tonight, your marching order is Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You have your marching orders, all right? So you're enlisted whether you wanted to or not. If you're saved here tonight, you're enlisted in the Lord's army, all right? And the Lord wants you to be a good follower. And guess what? You have marching orders, and that's to go into the world and preach all the gospel. So he needs, in order to be a good soldier, you have to be a follower. You have to be his follower. Number two, look at that. We're already through point number one. Number two, but that was the easy one, right? Point number two, you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. A good soldier is a faithful soldier. A good soldier has his priorities straight. He has the right perspective. The priority of a good soldier is to seek and to please his commanding officer, to do what his commanding officer tells him to do. All right, you're, listen, if you're going to be a good soldier, it's yes, sir.
Right.
All right? It's going to be yes, sir. That's what you want me to take care of. That's what you want me to do. I will do it. Your commanding officer is Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Your commanding officer is your God the Father. And your goal is to seek his will for your life. And once you've found that will, to stay faithful to it. Stay faithful to it. God has told you to do some things in your life. Stay faithful to that calling. Why? Because there's no higher calling than to give him glory and to please him and to stay faithful to that. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. There's no higher calling. There's no better call to obedience than to prioritize his will in your life. So you need to make sure a good faithful soldier has his priorities straight. A good faithful soldier practices his job. He's practicing what he should be doing. All right? You're supposed to be guarding the truth of your faith, knowing what you believe and why you believe it. It's important for you to practice. And it's important for you to be reading your Bible, to understand your Bible, to study your Bible, to know, to be able to defend your faith, why you believe what you believe. If someone on the street is questioning, well, why do you believe in baptism? And they question, why do you go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays? Why do you do this? Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you live the way that you do? Why do you dress the way you do? Why do you talk the way you do? You should be able to defend that through the scriptures. You should be able to know in your Bible, to be able to defend your faith because you are in your Bible, because you know the scriptures, you know what you believe. Not only that, but persecution. A faithful soldier knows what his priority is. He knows what he needs to be practicing, but he also knows he's going to suffer some persecution. Listen, a good soldier, the Bible talks about you will endure hardness as a good soldier. Look at 2 Timothy, our opening text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. A soldier, when he gets trained, goes through rigorous and rigorous training. Why? To be prepared for any situation.
Right.
You're going to go through hardness. There's no question. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. You're going to go through some hard times. You're going to go through some battles. You need to be able to endure it. You should expect trials and hardships in your Christian life. It's going to happen. But you need to remain faithful even when it happens. You know, we say this all the time, but we live in America. The persecution that we face here is not much. It's not much at all. You may see some people get upset with you while you're street preaching. You may have someone say no to you, trying to give them a gospel tract, or maybe someone at work maybe ridicules or makes fun of you for what you believe. That's what we have. I don't know of anyone who's lost their job for their beliefs. I'm not saying that that hasn't happened, but not very often do I see someone losing their job because they claim to be a Christian or a Baptist. There's not much persecution that we deal with. But you will deal with some hard situations. You are going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier in this Christian life. It will come. And often, pain is often a part of a Christian's life. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verses 16 through 18. 16 through 18. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. So we're going to suffer. And verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So you will suffer persecution. You are going to go through some sufferings, just as Christ did. You will go through it, but it will be worth it. If you remain faithful, it will be worth going through those sufferings. But a good, faithful, in order to be a good soldier, you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. Number three, we're going to move along here. He's got to be familiar. He's got to be familiar. Well, what do you mean familiar? He needs to be familiar with a few things. Well, number one, you need to be familiar with your commander's voice. You need to know the voice of the one who's giving you direction and recognize that it's the commander's voice and not someone else's. I was trying to come up with some key alliterations for my points here, and I was asking my wife to help me out, and I was really kind of having a hard time with it. I wanted to go with, I kind of was going with W's, and so I guess we're going to go with the whispers of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's the still small voice, right? It is. It's a still small voice. Our God, when he gives us commands and tells us what to do, it's not a shout from heaven, right? No one can sit there and claim that it's a big shout from heaven. I mean, we hear a still small voice, and he guides us and he directs us, and you ought to recognize it. You need to recognize your shepherd's and your commander's voice when he speaks to you. Listen, if you're ever going to have success in this Christian life, a successful battle, a success in this walk with the Lord, you need to be able to understand and know the master's voice. Be able to understand your commander's voice. It's so important because, listen, if you don't know the commands that you're given and you go the wrong direction, people are going to get killed. People are going to get hurt. You talk about a battle. If they don't know the direction, if they're not paying attention to the specific orders that they're given, you make the wrong move, you go the wrong direction, it's not only you that's going to get hurt, someone else is going to get hurt. Someone else is going to become a casualty. Make sure that you're listening to the whisper and to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but you need to be familiar with your weapon. We look at Ephesians chapter 6. We won't read it for the, but you could turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We won't read the whole passage for sake of time, but Ephesians chapter 6, we see here the whole armor of God, but also talks about you'll have one offensive weapon here. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you do have a sword, you do have a weapon, and that weapon that God gave you is that sword. You need to be familiar with God's word. Be familiar with that book. If you're going to be able to defend, I mentioned earlier about defending your faith and why you believe what you do, you need to know your weapon and how to use it. The soldiers and Marines and the different military servicemen have to be so familiar with their weapon that oftentimes part of their training is they're blindfolded. And they have to take their gun completely apart, put it back together blindfolded. You need to be able to know in the dark how to put your weapon back together. Guess what? We're in a dark world. Right. You need to know that you're in a dark place, and you need to be in God's word because his word is light. All right? And you're going to get lost in this dark world. You're going to get messed up if you're not staying, if you don't know the weapon that God's given you. You need to stay in that word. You need to know. And the next thing you want to look at for what a good soldier needs to be familiar with, he needs to be familiar with, I had a hard time coming up with this one, but the warfare enemy's tactics. I couldn't come up with a W for this one. I don't know. This is the best I got. But you need to be familiar with the enemy's tactics here. The devil, right? The devil is your enemy, as well as the flesh in this world. But the devil is most definitely your enemy. And he's a very subtle enemy. And he's a misleading enemy. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Listen, the devil is subtle. He's deceitful. He wants to trick you. And you know what? It's going to look like righteousness sometimes. It's going to look like a good thing. You know, sometimes there's a lot of good things that you could do. That doesn't mean it's the right thing for you. You need to be able to weigh the spirits and be able to understand what the right thing is, not just what the good thing is. I mean, God tells us about what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, right? There's good things for you to do. There's acceptable things, but he has a desire for you to seek the perfect thing, the right thing. And so you need to make sure that you're dedicated to that and understanding that the devil's tactics are out there can be very misleading. He's very subtle. And not only that, but he attacks you through temptation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We see something about the devil here. Something about the devil here in 1 Peter chapter 5. He always tries to mimic God. You know, so he tries to mimic God, but you know what? He tries to be this lion, because Jesus Christ is the lion out of the tribe of Judah. And but likewise, the Bible says in chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know what the one thing about a lion is? If you do any sort of research, you find out about lions, is the lions don't go for the most dangerous, the most strong, the biggest animal in the herd. They look for the weakest one. They look for the one that's hurting. The one that's slower than the rest. The one that's maybe off by itself. The one that's in trouble. when you're in your lowest state, when you don't feel like the Lord's on your side, maybe you feel like no one cares about what's going on in your life, and God, how can you really be here? There are all these problems going on in my life. What's going on? And that's when the devil likes to swoop in. He likes to make you feel like nobody cares about you. God doesn't love you. Your Christian family doesn't care about you. That's when he tries to swoop in and hurt you. He never tires. Satan never tires. He's a spiritual being, and he's never going to tire, and he's doing everything he can to try to prevent you from serving God. He attacks you when you're weakest. He attacks you, and he tries to tempt you so often. Man, but we have a great God. We have a great God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That no matter what you're going through, God is greater, and God always makes a way. Always makes a way from you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God always gives you a way. And he always strengthens you. In order to be a good soldier, not only do you have to be faithful and familiar with your weapons, but you also have to be a fighter. You need to be willing to fight. All right? You need to be willing to fight. You can't just be a pew Christian, just sitting in the pew all the time, and that's all you do, and claim Christianity. No, he needs some fighters. He wants fighters in his army. Someone who's determined to be a good soldier for him. Someone who's not going to retreat when things get bad, when things get hard. You know, there's one thing that's always clear to me, and when you read about in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about the armor, there's no armor for your back, right? There's no retreating, all right? There's no armor for your back, all right? And the armor is for the front, because you should always be moving forward. Always be determined not to quit. There's nothing to quit to. You're saved, right? You're saved here. You can't go back to the world. You're not part of the world anymore. There's nothing to quit to. So keep on going for the Lord. You need to be driven. Driven. Listen, there are crowns to be won. For sake of time, we won't get too far, but God tells us that we have crowns that can be won and jewels that we can be giving. Why? To give glory. What's your drive? Is your drive to give God glory with your life? What are you being driven with? He is worthy to be served. Drive, why? Because there's crowns to be won, because he's worthy, and also because there's others watching. You know, you got children, you got young people, You got young Christians maybe who haven't been serving and haven't know had a relationship with the Lord that long, and you know what? They're watching you. What's your drive? Keep going forward. You need to be a fighter, because there are others that are watching you in this battle. And they're going to see, how are they fighting? How are they reacting to this battle? What are they doing? Maybe I need to be more like them. Are you dedicated? He needs a fighter that's dedicated, regardless of personal loss, just going to keep moving forward for Christ. Are you willing to suffer personal loss? Are you willing to suffer ridicule? Are you willing to suffer anything in this world for the sake of God, for the sake of His glory? Are you willing to keep fighting? Are you a fighter? And lastly, look at that, we're doing good on time. Lastly, are you a finisher? Are you a finisher? Listen, anyone can join the army. Anyone can. You accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Anyone can become a soldier for Jesus Christ. How are you going to finish, though? That's my question. How are you going to finish? Are you going to be honorable or dishonorable? You know, I want to be a decorated war hero when I get to heaven. Amen. Right? Who doesn't want to be a decorated war hero? Right? And like Pastor Kenny was mentioning, I really don't want to get stuck behind certain people like the Apostle Paul. Man, people like Abraham and all these different saints in the Bible that are mentioned, I really don't want to be behind them. But my goal is I want to be a decorated war hero. I want to be able to say, Lord, I did this for you. I gave all for you. I want to be an honorable servant, not a dishonorable. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Will you be able to claim that? Are you able to claim that? Do you think you can right now? Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Consider tonight, are you a good soldier? A good soldier is a follower. He's faithful. He's familiar. He is a fighter, and he's a finisher. Are you a good soldier? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for this night, Lord, and I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to be a good soldier for you, Lord, because you're worthy of it. Lord, help us not to forget that we are constantly in a spiritual battle, in spiritual warfare. Sometimes we forget because of everything, our busy lives and everything gets going on. I pray that you'd help us not to forget. Lord, I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.